All God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. I want us to turn our Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Samuel. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 19. I'm going to deal with a subject that has really been on my heart for the last week or so. And God makes no mistakes. And when He gives a message, it's usually right when we need it. Amen? And so I want us to look at this tonight from 2 Samuel chapter 19. And I want to deal with a topic tonight from the life of Mephibosheth. Many of you are probably familiar with him. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, the first king of Israel. And Mephibosheth was really the object of grace from David. We read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 9. David wanted to show kindness to the house of Saul. And you know, what a wonderful thing. Saul spent years trying to kill David, and yet David still wants to show kindness to the house of Saul. And he did it for Jonathan's sake, but he did it for God's sake. He showed him the kindness of God. That's what he showed him. And so what we find here in 2 Samuel 19 is many years after that, David has elevated Mephibosheth to a place of plenty, a place of grace and blessing. And Mephibosheth has eaten at the table with the king's sons, just like he was one of the king's sons. What a wonderful picture of salvation. Amen? It's what the Lord did for us when He saved us. He elevated us from a place of cursing to a place of blessing, to a place of emptiness to a place of fullness. That's our God, and He is good. Amen? But now this is many years later, and David has been on the run. His own son that he raised up, Absalom, has turned against him, and he's turned the nation against David. And now David has run for his life, and during his time away, several have come to him in his time of need. Some have come to be a blessing to David. And it is a blessing when we're in a place of need and a place of hurt. It's a blessing those who will come to us just trying to be a blessing to us. We count them as friends. Amen? When the chips are down, they're still there. Those are real friends. But then there's others that come to David during his time of need. And those are those who will come with an outward show of friendship, but in reality, they've got something underlying. There's something they're after. And it's not really the benefit of David. They're after the benefit of themselves. You know, though, people come to you in your time of need just like that. And there's nothing new under the sun. Amen? But then there are those who can't come to you. And this is what we're going to look at tonight out of 2 Samuel 19. And we're going to start reading in verse 24. I hope you had time to find the text. Stand with me and we'll read these verses together. I'll read aloud. You follow along in your King James Bible. 2 Samuel 19, verse 24. The Bible says, "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. I want us to look at this idea of slander. And what does it entail? What does it mean to slander someone? And more importantly, what do we do when we've been slandered? So let's pray and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We're so thankful for your blessings on us. We're thankful for what we've enjoyed already tonight. And Lord, the fellowship and the music, Lord, that has exalted Jesus Christ and the great blessings that we have through him. Lord, we're thankful that you are willing to give your best for the likes of us. God, we are unworthy, but we are very grateful that we could have salvation, that we could have your word in this book we call the Bible. Lord, we're so thankful that you've given to us your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we dare not trust ourselves tonight. We dare not lean to our own understanding tonight. Lord, we're the best we know how, we're trying to acknowledge you and allow you to direct our paths tonight. God, we pray that your spirit would be heated tonight. God, I pray that you would fill me afresh and anew, Lord, with this message and with your spirit. God, I pray that the word of God would run swiftly through the congregation. God, I pray that the word, the good seed of the word of God, would find good ground in the hearts of men and women and young people. God, I pray that you would do the work in our hearts that only you can do. Father, I pray that you would comfort us, that you would strengthen us, that you would instruct us, that you would guide us. Lord, that you would use us for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Mephibosheth is now meeting King David as David comes back from fleeing for his life. They've won the battle. Absalom has been killed and the kingdom's been restored. And so as David comes back into Jerusalem, Mephibosheth comes to meet the king. And Mephibosheth has this report to give to him. He says in verse number 27 that his servant Ziba slandered him. Slandered him. Now, the word slander means a false tale or report maliciously uttered and tending to injure the reputation of another by lessening him in the esteem of his fellow citizens. It is to defame or to tarnish one's reputation. And so when you look at slander, there's really three main parts. Number one, it's false, primarily. Number two, it's malicious. That is, it has an intention to injure, and the injury that they want to give is to one's reputation. When Ziba, and we'll look back at chapter 16 of 2 Samuel, we'll read the actual slander that takes place. In 2 Samuel 16, in verse 1, it says, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba the servant of Mephibosheth met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. It seems like a good thing, huh? And the king said, And where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. So Ziba, what has happened is Ziba's come to David, and he's brought David all these gifts. And you know what? You better be careful. You better be careful when someone brings you gifts. Now, I thank God for those who bring gifts. We couldn't do what we do without people bringing gifts. Yep. But I want you to know right off the bat, your gift is not going to buy my loyalty. Amen. And we need to be careful, because the natural tendency is to allow someone who is being good to you to skew your view of things. Ziba comes to David, he's got all these goods, he's got all these things, and I will point out this, Ziba got all these things from Mephibosheth. These were Mephibosheth's things. But Ziba comes to him, and he gives him these things, and this is the report. When David asks Ziba where Mephibosheth is, this is the report. The report is, he abideth at Jerusalem. Now you know what? That's true. Is that not true? See, sometimes we think, well, if it's slander, it's got to be 100% false. That's not necessarily the case. See, slander is a lot like heresy. You know what heresy is? It's false doctrine wrapped in a skin of truth.
Yeah, you're right.
And it looks good on the outside, but it's full of rottenness on the inside. That's what slander. That's how slander comes about. Ziba says, listen, Mephibosheth's in Jerusalem. That was true. But the second thing he said was not true. And it was said with malicious intent. He said, for he said, this is what Mephibosheth is thinking. This is what Mephibosheth is planning. Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. You know what Ziba's report to David was? Mephibosheth thinks he's going to get the kingdom back.
Yes, sir.
And he stayed at Jerusalem so that he'd be in the right place at the right time. David, you know what Ziba's saying? David, Mephibosheth doesn't care about you. All the good you've done for him and everything that you did to restore him to a place of prominence and blessing, he doesn't appreciate any of that. Now, maybe, I believe there are times when we don't know the facts of the story, but we want to look like we know the facts of the story. And so that's when this enters in, that the Bible calls evil surmisings.
Yeah.
Evil surmise. You know what that is? That's when you fill in the blank when you don't know the answer to it. Amen. That's when you fill in the blank. There's a blank there. You don't know the answer, but you think you know the answer. Now, when I was in Bible school, this is what they told us. Never leave a blank blank. Always put something there. Because who knows, you might get the right answer. You know what I found out? I never got the right answer when I just filled it in. Never did. Sometimes I'd get a nice try.
Yeah.
You know, when we surmise things, when we assume things, when we try to fill in the blank with what we think that person's intention is, you better be careful about that. Because the next thing you know, you're going to bring a slander against somebody and you're going to be wrong. Now, I believe in Ziba's case, I believe it was all planned out. I don't think he had any misconception about what was happening here. I believe this was 100% deliberate. It was a setup. And so he tells David this story. And notice David's response in verse number 4. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. You know what happened? David believed him.
Yeah.
David believed him. Now when Ziba first came to David, way back in chapter 9, when David wanted to show kindness to the house of Saul, Ziba was the one who was called in. Ziba was the one who informed David of Mephibosheth. And this is what David said. Mephibosheth will stay with me. He'll eat at my table. Ziba, you'll work the fields. And basically the setup was, you supply your master with goods and the rest is yours. The setup was, Ziba, it's a split. Well, now, after this slander, David takes the bait. And he says, okay, Ziba, you can have everything he's got. So this is what's happening. And listen, slander, can I pause here and say this? Slander is a grievous sin against God. It's a grievous sin against your brethren.
Yes.
Sadly, many times slander comes about from those who at one time were close to us. This is what the psalmist said in Psalm 50, verse 20. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. That's a sad thing when brothers slander brothers and sisters slander sisters. You say, preacher, this is an odd message for revival. I don't think so.
Amen.
I don't think so at all. You know, with the explosion of social media, you know what else has exploded? Slander.
Yes, right.
And let me just go on record here, and let's make sure that we understand God's on record here. Slander is a sin.
Right, amen.
It's a sin. Psalm 101 verse 5 says this, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. That sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? Proverbs 10:18 says, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Why are you a fool if you utter a slander? Because you do understand what we call the law of the boomerang. Amen. It's going to come back.
Yes.
If you use your tongue to slander someone else, get ready because it's coming back on you. Amen.
Yeah.
Better be careful about this thing of slander. The first mention of slander is in Numbers chapter 14 when the 12 spies went out to view the land. And 10 of them, we know the Sunday school song, 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? Joshua and Caleb came back and gave a good report of the land. You know what the good report was? This was their report of the land. It's just like God said it was.
Yes. That's right.
They didn't have to make anything up. They didn't have to paint the picture better than it was. Because all they did is come back and said, yep, God's word is true.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? The 10 other spies came back, and the Bible says in Numbers 14:36 that they brought up a slander upon the land. Interesting to me that the first use of the word slander in the Bible is not upon a person, but upon a provision. They slandered God's provision. You know, when by slandering what God had provided for them, they were slandering God. Hey, listen, young person. You don't like the house you live in or the clothes mom and dad buy for you or this or that, and you slander that provision, you're slandering your parents.
Yep.
And in so doing, you're slandering God.
Yeah.
The one who gave you those parents.
Amen.
Amen. Husbands, wives, you got this thing to say about your husband or your wife, and they've got problems here and they got problems here, like you don't have problems. You're slandering God's provision. God gave you that mate. You ought to be thankful for her. Nobody else will marry your sorry carcass. Amen. Be thankful. Don't slander what God has provided for you. You know, that's what Ziba was doing.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with half. He wanted all of it. So he brought a slander. Now, what do you do when you're slandered? That's really what the message is about. And I've got about 5 points, and I don't know how long it's going to take me, not very long. They're all right here in the text. Look back at 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel 19. We all understand that if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to get right with God.
Yes, you're right.
Can I tell you this? If you have slandered someone, you're going to have to make it right.
Yeah.
Just right now, get it settled in your heart and mind. If you brought a slander against someone, you're going to have to make that thing right.
Yeah.
If you want to be right with God, if you want to have fellowship with God, if you want to have the peace of God, if you want to enjoy this revival meeting instead of enduring this revival meeting, you're going to have to get that thing right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now watch what Mephibosheth does when he gets slandered. Very simple, very powerful truths here. Look at verse number 26. Verse 25, the end of verse 25, David, the king, asked him, he says, "Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me." And he goes on to explain the story. Can I say this, number one? What do you do when you get slandered? When you're asked, just tell the truth.
Yeah.
But what a lost art that is. So what are you talking about? Number one, telling the truth. And number two, just telling the truth when you're asked. You know, listen. You are never going to run down a slander to everybody that you've been slandered about to. You're not going to chase it down. You're not going to run it down. You can't make it all right. You can't set the record straight with everyone. Not everyone even wants to hear the truth.
Yes, sir.
So don't even worry about that. Just listen. When it comes up, just tell the truth. Just tell what happened. That's what Mephibosheth did. Notice when the king came to Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth didn't say, "Oh, David, I'm so glad you're here. I got something to tell you. Let me set the record straight." Now listen, Mephibosheth already knew what had happened. We know that by his response. He knew that Ziba went. He knew somehow that Ziba had lied, that Ziba had slandered him. He knew all of those things. But he didn't meet King David with this. "David, I've got to set the record straight. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what Ziba did. And David, this is what happened. This is what happened. He lied. He did this." No, he just welcomed the king. And he waited for David to ask him about the matter.
Yeah.
And it's just simple, but it's practical truth that'll help us.
Yes, that's right.
You're never going to set the record straight with everybody.
Right.
I'll tell you who it mattered to, though. It mattered to set the record straight with David. He's the king.
That's right.
And the king asked him, and he just told the truth. Let me give you the second thing. Look at verse 27 again. He says, "He has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes." You know what he did, second of all? He committed the issue to the king. He just said, "This is what's going on. And David, you make the judgment as is best in your eyes, whatever you see fit. I'll trust you. I'll take your judgment and I'll receive it, whatever it may be." He had complete faith that David could handle it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I say this tonight? God will handle it if you let Him.
Yep.
The problem is, so many times, we want to handle it. God will handle it much better than you'll handle it. God has all the information. I know you think you do, and I think I do.
Yeah.
And listen, let's just get this straight. If you're going to live for God, if you're going to serve God, you will be slandered.
Right.
You will be slandered. Why don't you just commit it to the Lord? Say, "Lord, I'm just committing it to your hands. I'm going to try to do my best to live for you and serve you. I'm not going to let this thing bury me. I'm not going to let this thing slow me down. I'm just going to commit it to you. And however you want to handle it, I'll accept it."
Good.
That takes faith. And faith is what pleases God. He committed the issue to the king. He let God handle it. Let me give you another thing. Look at verse number 28. He tells David, he says, do whatever is good in your eyes. In verse 28, he says, this is the reason why. For all of my father's house were but dead men before the Lord, before my Lord the King. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. You know what he did? He remembered the goodness of God. Now, this is what happens when we get in trouble, whether it's a slander or a betrayal or even just a trial. This is what happens. That thing is right there in our face and we can't see anything else. We get blinded to the goodness of God. Because there's that thing right there. There's that thing that's right in our face. There's that betrayal. There's that slander. There's that lie. There's that trial. There's that trouble. And we forget the fact that if God had not come on the scene to begin with, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't have any good thing in our life.
Right.
The book of James tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights.
Amen.
Every good thing in our life, God gave to us. Amen. You know how much we deserve? None of it.
Yep.
Not a blessing do we deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve hell.
Yep. God.
That's all we deserve.
Yep.
And anything above hell is a blessing. Say, how can you give thanks for everything? I heard a guy the other day, he said, well, the Bible tells us to give thanks in everything, but not to give thanks for everything. Well, he stopped reading his Bible somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
Because not only are we told to give thanks in all things, but for all things.
Yes.
Yep.
How can we give thanks for slander? Well, it's not hell. Come on. It's still better than what we deserve. I can't believe it. I've been slandered and I've been lied about. I don't deserve this. You're right. You don't deserve anything so as good as that. Come on.
That's right.
I know it's funny to us, but it's true. And it's good to get a reset. Get a reset. The Word of God is good for that. Hitting the reset. Because we go along through life and we start thinking that we deserve all the good things that we have. I deserve a good job. I deserve a good home. I deserve nice clothes. I deserve a good mate. I deserve these children. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to live in a free country. We think all these things we deserve. We don't deserve any of those things.
Amen.
Remember how good God has been to us. How could God allow this in my life? You're forgetting all the good things God brought in your life that you didn't earn. Mephibosheth remembered the goodness of God and he was humble. And these two things, they go hand in hand. Look at the last part of verse 28. He said, what right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? Boy, we're concerned about our rights these days, aren't we? We're all concerned about our rights, no matter which side of the aisle that you're on. Amen. I know I'm stepping on some toes now here, but
yep.
Mine too.
Yep. Yeah, it's true.
You know, the liberal crowd, they think it's their right to kill a baby. And the conservative crowd, we think it's our right to live in a free country.
Right.
Why? Well, we deserve it. I think we covered that one already. We don't deserve it. We're all concerned about our rights. Listen, I've been saying this since right after the beginning of this whole COVID thing, Brother Brooks. If God's people could be as concerned about revival as they were about our rights, we'd have revival already.
Amen.
I thank God for the free country we live in, free-ish, amen? Kind of free. But you do realize that there's brothers and sisters of Christ that we share a family with, we're brothers and sisters with them, they don't have freedom. They're still serving God. They still have the joy of the Lord. And maybe the case can be made, they're serving God more than we are.
Yes,
and they've got joy without all their rights. Amen. Well, I killed it there, didn't I? I'm saying a lot of these things that we... Listen, it would help us greatly if we'd remember God has been good to me, and if God stopped blessing me today and I lived another 50 years and never got another blessing, He's still been better to me than what I've deserved.
Amen.
Mephibosheth, what a great spirit he had. I'd like to have this kind of spirit when I'm slandered. This convicts me, but it helps me.
Yes.
The slander usually goes something like this. Well, they seem this way, but I know what they're getting at. I know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Everybody has the gift of perception, you know, discernment. You know what has the gift of discernment? The Word of God.
Yeah.
The Word of God is quick and powerful.
Yes.
Sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that amazing? We think we're reading the book. The book's reading us.
Yeah.
Right.
God knows your thoughts and intents, but I don't. But Mephibosheth, you know what he said? David, King David. This is what happened. But I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to remember how good you've been to me. And I'm going to remember that I don't deserve any of the good things that you brought in my life. And so I'm not going to cry anymore. See that? That's what he said.
That's right.
He said, "What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" Listen, you've met people, I've met people that have been slandered, and it was a grievous slander that they went through, and it was years ago, and they still talk about it. They just cannot get past what somebody said or somebody did. They are consumed with it. Listen, can I help you tonight? If you're consumed with someone's ought that they've committed against you, listen, I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to be hurt by it. I want you to be helped by it. Let me tell you the root of that. It's pride. Why you can't get over it, it's pride.
Sir.
I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to harm you. I'm trying to help you. If you are just so consumed with what somebody said or what somebody did, and you know they're malicious, they were out to get you, they should have never done that, if you hang on to that thing, it will destroy you.
Right.
And it'll destroy every relationship in your life. It will create a root of bitterness that will spring up in your life and choke out every good thing that you have. Don't let it take root. Don't dwell on it. Don't be consumed by it. Commit it to the Lord and move on. Let me give you one more thing. This one may be more important than any of the others. Did you notice in verse 24, it says that Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. Did you notice how Mephibosheth met the king when he read through? Let's read it again. Had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Now let me tell you something. When I first read that, I thought, well, that's no way to meet the king. Right? I know I'm probably slandering Mephibosheth here, but I'm just thinking in my mind, that's no way to meet the king. You know, we talk about this all the time when we come to church. We dress up and we wear our best. We try to look sharp and everything. And it's not to impress other people.
Yeah.
It's because we're meeting the king.
Amen.
And when you meet the king, you come in your best and you wash your hair and you comb it. Some of us, right, Brother Hedgepath?
Yeah.
You get ready.
Yeah.
You do your best. Well, here's Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth comes to meet the king. He hasn't dressed his feet. He hasn't trimmed his beard. He hasn't washed his clothes. He looks like, as the old saying goes, he looks like something the cat drug in. But you know, when you think about this, he met David just the way he should have. Why is that? Well, listen, David has been on the run. David's been hiding here and there and running and trying to spare his life. How much time do you think he had to trim his beard? How much time do you think he had to wash his clothes or to dress his feet or to get himself all nice and taken care of? You know what Mephibosheth understood? David was on the run. David was being hounded. Listen, when we talk about slander, David understood what slander was all about. He'd been slandered time and time again and would be some more before his life is over. He understood. Mephibosheth understood that the whole time he was in Jerusalem, David was in the wilderness. And this is what Mephibosheth, I believe this was his heart toward David. He thought, listen, David's out there. He can't take care of himself. I'm going to live like David until David comes back.
Yep.
Listen, this is what we've got to have. We've got to have in our hearts. Listen, people are going to talk. They're going to slander. They're going to try to destroy you and your reputation. They're going to try to destroy your family. They're going to try to destroy every good thing in your life because they're filled with bitterness.
Yep.
And that's what bitter people do. And you can either join them in that bitterness and sign up for the slander and all the stuff that goes with it, or you can be consumed by all those problems, or you can just say, listen, I know one day the king is coming back, and so I'm just going to live like the king until the king does come back.
Amen.
The best thing you can do when you're slandered is just keep living for Jesus and just keep living like Jesus.
Amen.
You know what David understood? And he did understand what Mephibosheth said. Because at the end, you know what he does? He restores Mephibosheth's half to him. He said, you and Ziba divide it. He brought it back to what it was at the beginning. Because David understood that Ziba had slandered Mephibosheth. David understood when he saw Mephibosheth, and I'm not sure how he even got to David. He was lame on his feet. He couldn't walk. And certainly Ziba wasn't helping him to get to King David. He didn't want that meeting to happen. I don't even know how he got to David, but I know somehow he got to David. He's dragging himself out there to meet the king, and David looks at him, and he hears his explanation, and he notices how Mephibosheth has been living while he's been gone. He wasn't living it up. He wasn't yucking it up with the upper-ups and trying to position himself to be the next king. David knew as soon as he saw Mephibosheth that Ziba had lied. And listen, maybe everybody believes the slander about you. Maybe everybody does. Maybe the whole world, your whole world, looks at you differently than they did before because of somebody's slander. What can I do about it? Commit yourself to the Lord and just live like Jesus. And though everybody else may believe the slander, you can know the King knows. The King knows the truth.
Amen.
The spirit of Mephibosheth humbles me.
Yes.
Challenges me. Helps me. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to stand before you. I'm not going to stand before anyone else. I'm going to stand before the Lord. And there's plenty I'm going to have to answer for. I would have to answer for that I do not look forward to answering for. But I want to make sure that if and when I am slandered, that I just commit it to Him. I just put it in His hands.
Amen.
And I do my best to represent Him for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And know that there's a holy, righteous God in heaven who is keeping record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. You've helped me as I've considered this. And Lord, I pray that this has helped another. God, help us by faith to commit our lives, no matter what we're going through, into your keeping. The Lord Jesus, when he was reviled not again.
Yeah.
But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Yes, sir.
And God, I'm thankful that you're a righteous judge. Lord, I pray if there's some slander that we are guilty of, I pray that we'd make that right. It's so easy, just a little slip of the tongue, and before you know it, our heart has entered into a malicious report. Pride is always the source. Try to make ourselves look better than someone else. God, forgive us. Help us, Lord, not to get caught up in slander. God, I pray that we'd be pure before you in our thoughts and our deeds and our actions. Our attitude. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to support one another, pray for one another, strengthen one another, and to live like Jesus until he comes back for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together. Several come to the altar. I invite you to come. Maybe you're guilty of slander. Maybe you've been slandered about. You just want to take some time to pray. Why don't you just obey the Spirit of God? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, can I tell you the words that Christ said? You must be born again.
Yes.
You've got to be born again. There's only one way, that's through Jesus Christ. The invitation is always open to those who need to be saved.